Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. Another Rookie Fever player profile. I am here. We brought Brandon Lejeune back at Devi Deep Dive on Twitter. Brandon, how the hell are you? Thanks for coming back. I'm glad you didn't. We didn't scare you off, apparently.
No, I told you the last time I joined you how excited I was. You guys kind of got me into the Devi world, and to get a call back within a month, good stuff. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, well, absolutely, dude. You're a smart guy. All your film work on YouTube. I saw Matt Hicks shout you out the other day to try to drive that channel a little bit, get some more subscribers. So we definitely want to push some people over to that. In case anybody missed some of your first player profile, because I don't just want to send them back there to learn about you, but kind of what did kind of drive you into Devi, some of the film analysts, some of that kind of stuff, like what drives you?
Well, what drove me into Devi was the fact that I started off a standard redraft, then you got into Dynasty, and it was just more. And I feel like I love to research players. I'm more of a film guy than a numbers guy. And there's just a lot more film to watch in college. And I just love having guys on my taxi squad waiting to be entered into my Dynasty leagues. And I just love it. I'm a film guy first and foremost. You know, there's a lot of metrics and analytics guys out there, but I trust what I see on film versus numbers, because I think the numbers can be misleading as well. A lot of productive players are very productive early in their careers, have great dominators that never make it to an NFL roster. So I've kind of always leaned on the film aspect of watching players, and then we'll look at analytics to maybe help solidify guys that maybe I'm on the fence with if I've got to make a decision on who I really want. But first and foremost, a film guy.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, I don't know if you mentioned before, during, or after the show last time, but you're actually in a Devi league where you're going against, like, the film guys are going up against the analytic guys, right?
Yeah, I'm in one of those leagues. That's kind of fun. Everyone, and we're going to be doing a mock draft shortly after the NFL draft. Matt Hicks and I, you mentioned him before.
Yep.
We're going to be doing some mocks with against some analytic guys. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. And kind of like, and I like to take a little bit of both of your worlds and bring them together, to be honest with you, and try to come to a conclusion that way a little bit. I don't know. It's tough, man, because you see a lot of those like analytics versus films, and you're just kind of like, oh, wow, this is more like these guys are serious, very intense, yeah, like arguments here.
Yeah, I tend not to get into arguments. I respect everybody. I do. I respect everyone's opinion, whether you're a film guy, an analytics guy. If you like a player, that's great. I like who I like. You like who you like. I try not to get too, you know, critical of other people's. I'll share my views on a player if I don't agree, but respect everyone's decision, where you take a player, what your perceived value is in a player. I respect everyone's thought process on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the work that goes into it as well.
Yeah, well, I find that making films is a great way to scout players. Not only the players that I'm making a film on, but other players as well that you come across. Like, I'm a Tyler Algier fan from BYU, watching a lot of Zach Wilson film. He just popped out. He's a running back for BYU. Loved his tape. I think he's a big riser next year as a 2022 player coming into the draft next season. So, you know, watching the film, breaking it down and categorizing the clips and putting them in the order of the player traits, I find is just a good way for me personally to analyze players of who I'm looking to put on my Devi play, on my Devi teams.
Yeah, I love it. Well, let's hop into this player profile, and we'll get going. We'll let them know who you picked on the other side here.
Let's do it.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right, Brandon. So who did you pick, and why?
I picked Mr. Trey Sermon, running back from Ohio State. When you reached back out to me and said, I'd love to have you back on the show, you gave me a list of players that nobody spoke about. And I was really surprised no one picked Trey Sermon. So I am here to talk about Trey Sermon. I'm a believer. I really believe that it's an RB4 class, not an RB3 class. Everyone has Harris, Etienne, and Williams, of course. And after that, people feel as though that it's a what's your flavor after that. For me, it's an RB4 class. I have Sermon clearly for my number fourth back. And then after that is where it gets a little dicey for me. But I think he's an underrated guy. I think he's had his value over the course of his 4-year career has came out of college, playing in Oklahoma for the first 3 years. He had a great freshman sophomore season, ran into some injuries in 2019 a little bit. And then obviously, if you watched any film at all, or watch the games this at the end of this past year, he just really looked good. So I think he's got a bright future in the NFL.
Nice. I love it. And you, so a lot of times, like, I'll reach out to you and obviously know who Trey Sermon is and stuff, but I'm not digging in like you are year round. So you reach out to somebody and Brandon says Trey Sermon, and that's like, then I start digging a little bit deeper as well. And then I start watching a little bit more as well. And he was definitely, he looked explosive and very exciting player to watch. And I don't know, you got me intrigued. How long have you been watching him?
Well, I've been watching him. I've been an Oklahoma fan after a Penn State fan for years. So I watched him there, and I was really interested to see why he left Oklahoma. He seemed to lose carries to Kennedy Brooks in 2019 and then transferred to Ohio State, which at that point he was coming off a knee injury. But I really like him. I favor running backs with size, guys over 210. He's over that. So I always tend to favor bigger backs. And I just think he's, I think he's just got a really good skill set from watching his film. And I'm sure we're going to break down his pros and cons, but I think he's just, for what you just mentioned, I think he's got the size, he's got the power. I think he's got the good footwork, decent vision. So I think, like I said, I'm really excited about him. And I feel as though in the Debbie community, rookie community right now, he's talked about, but not kind of in that top tier with those guys. And I'm here to hopefully change that. And because I have many shares in my Debbie rosters, and I'm hoping to pluck him in a lot of my upcoming rookie drafts.
Yeah, he could be one of those guys we talked about before the show, where if you're doing drafts now or your mocks now, you might get him like late second, early third. But then once the right landing spot comes, that's probably not going to happen. And chances are you're not doing a lot of rookie drafts right now, just your mocks. So if you are doing one right now, he could be a sneaky guy to add in. I know some people do their rookie drafts before landing spots, so you never know.
Yeah, I've never really understood that. I know that the excitement of rookies to get them on your team is there. Another good reason to have it on Debbie when you are on a Debbie team, right? Because if he's got it on your taxi squad, then you have the luxury of waiting till after the draft. But for those guys that aren't in Debbie and it's a redraft league, or and you've got a 5-round rookie draft, whatever, to do it before the NFL draft has never made sense to me.
Yeah,
I always encourage everybody, if they were asked, to do your rookie draft after the NFL draft. I mean, who wants to see? I mean, you got a lot of heartbreakers in there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, man, I mean, we've done two rookie fever rookie mocks before the draft, and I even told you, I was like, yeah, I kind of don't get it, and that's coming from something we did on this show. It's great content. I've enjoyed the shows and the conversations that Dave and Finero and I have had, but at the same time, like, we all know that it's going to change a little bit. It's fun to talk about the players, but man, you just look at CEH last year, some of those guys, and sometimes you miss out on some things within the Debbie community, even whether it's like somebody like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Josh Jacobs, Joe Burrow, Daniel Jones, some of those guys end up being available in some of your Debbie rookie drafts.
Yeah, I'm interested in your mocks where on your shows, where was Trey Sermon getting drafted?
Trey Sermon went 212.
212. Okay. Yep. Back of the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and that was me taking him.
Right.
So, but yeah, he went 212, and then we did three more picks, and we've just done two rounds as of now. So
let me ask you a question. If he ended up going to Pittsburgh, let's say, do you think that draft capital would change? Would it go from 212 to 1.10 or something? Or
dude, and I know that Twitter would go crazy. That's almost where but I think he would. I think he would easily go from 212 to 110, maybe even better. And you know, mm-hmm. Twitter would be going crazy. And at this point, probably even Brandon would have to try to throw a little caution to the wind and be like, yes, we like him, but, you know, let's not move him above every single prospect just because of this amazing landing spot. At least that's speaking for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think you, I mean, landing spot's important, but it's still the skill set of the individual player you're looking at.
Yeah, but Twitter would go crazy if that happens, mm-hmm. especially if it's like a second round pick or something like that. I mean, Twitter would go crazy. So you mentioned some pros, size, vision, speed. What are some cons? Maybe some concerns, something maybe Pittsburgh looks him over.
Well, I mean, I think he's not the most creative back. You know, he's played in a lot of wide open kind of offensive concepts in Oklahoma and Ohio State. So, but I tend to favor that he doesn't have elite speed. He doesn't have the elite long speed. You'll see him get caught up from behind when he's running down the field, but that's okay, right? I mean, so if I've got two backs that I'm looking at, I'm going to take the guy that has the overall skill set of the short area quickness, lateral movement, you know, getting those tough grinding yards versus the guy that has the long 40 time or the great 40 time who can really burst down the field. Sure, you'd love to have a running back that has both, but if you can only have one, I'm going to lean towards a back who's going to grind out those tough yards, who's got that ability to move the pile, be the red zone guy that's going to get you those touchdowns. And I think his physicality and his ability and short area quickness and acceleration is very good. He doesn't, like I said, the negative, he doesn't have that long speed once he gets in the open field. His vision in the open field is pretty good. You know, so I guess my biggest thing is he's played in these wide open concepts. At Oklahoma, you played with all those great quarterbacks, right? You know, the Jalen Hurts and stuff, the guys that had run around and had created a lot of space and lanes with good receivers who, you know, maybe the boxes weren't stacked as much. But looking at his film and looking at his traits as an individual skill set running back, I think he has a lot of more favorable traits than negative ones.
Yeah, I love that. So we mentioned Pittsburgh. What kind of draft capital do you actually think we'll see go into Trey Sermon?
I mean, I think he could possibly sneak into the end of day two, but he may be an early day three. So I'm thinking round 4 or 5. I think a lot of teams are going to still focus on offensive linemen, defensive linemen, wide receivers are deep. So I'm thinking late day two, early day three. I can't imagine he's going to get past round 5, maybe. That's just my thinking right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe with this draft class not being as running back heavy, that maybe teams do go a little bit earlier on some of these better running backs?
I guess, yeah, I mean, it's possible. I still believe defense wins championships in the end. I think a lot of defensive players are going to be taken. I don't know how deep the defensive side of the ball is in the NFL draft, so that's kind of a tough question. I'm not a scout guy that scouts all positions, but I think he's got to be the fourth or fifth or sixth back taken off. I mean, if you're looking at all the other backs with the Carters, the Javian Hawkins, the Gainwells, I mean, they're all smaller third down backs. I mean, Trey Sermon is going to give you that three down ability. He can catch the ball. He only had about 48 receptions his entire career, but I think he can excel in that passing game, in the short dump off passing game, the sweeps. And the other thing is he's only had one fumble his entire career. So the guy doesn't put the ball on the floor. He doesn't put it on the ground. I think he's just an overall great. I mean, I think he should be in the top 5 backs off the board.
Is there a landing spot that could happen that could just totally crush you, break your heart? You don't want to see him go there?
Well, yeah. I mean, if he ends up on a team that already has an established first and second, you know, back on the team, then that would be certainly a disappointment. So I think there's a lot of teams that need running backs. I think there's a lot of teams that could use a bell cow. So I'm hoping more for he ends up in a good spot. I think there's plenty of teams, you know, the Jets and Atlanta, Pittsburgh, we talked about. I think Buffalo would be a great spot. You know, I know they got Zach Moss, but I'm not sure if Moss and Singletary are the long-term future. So I think there's a lot of NFL teams that have decent backs on their roster that they know that they could probably use somebody better.
What about the Patriots?
the Patriots.
There, yeah, we found it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I love Sony Michel too, coming out of Georgia. I don't know what happened to Sony Michel. That's such a shame. He looks so damn explosive, and I don't know what happened to him. But the running backs, that team is in such turmoil. I'm not sure I like that landing spot. But yeah, that would probably be a disappointment. I think they have so much change going on up there, and that team's in a kind of in a transition right now. So I don't know. I got lots of shares, like I said, on my Debbie squad. So I'm really hoping for a good landing spot.
Yeah. So what are the realistic expectations from like a ceiling to floor type narrative?
I mean, I think he could come out and hopefully be like an RB3 to start the season. For year one, and possibly work his way up into an RB2 for you. I don't think he's going to come out and be a guy that maybe is going to get the rock at the very beginning of the season and be that established Jonathan Taylor type.
Sure.
But I think he's going to most likely be added to an offense that probably already has some sort of running back committee. And he's going to have to kind of find his way on the field and hopefully at that point takes it over. But I think long term, I think he has the ability to possibly be an RB1 if he lands in the right spot. I mean, that's how much I think he's got the overall size, physicality, elusiveness, ball catching skills. He can pass block too. He's a great pass protector, which is always a good thing for a rookie running back to stay on the field. So there's a lot to like about his game. And like we talked about pre-show, I mean, the landing spots mean everything. And we can do all the mocks we want right now, but everything's going to change in about 3 weeks after the 29th. And I'm just like really hoping he lands in a good spot. But I think long term, I think he could be a solid RB1. If not a very high ceiling RB2.
And you say RB3 year one, and probably the listeners are like, "Ugh." But honestly, like, that's really not that bad. They'd probably be surprised if they look back at past rookie running backs, how many finished in that like RB22 to RB30 area, like the actual RB3s, they're finishing there. And then the next season, they even have better numbers, or they're still viable starters. And to get a viable starter or in their rookie season is honestly a tougher feat than we want to imagine. We think that because of some of these hits we've gotten from 2019 and 2020, that it's just easy and you can keep like putting those people into your rosters. But I mean, if you're getting an RB3 out of a rookie, possibly in the round two of your rookie draft, that's honestly pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I think we just have to remain patient with some of these players.
Mm-hmm.
We, like you said, we get spoiled with instant production. And a lot of times it's a big transition from high school to college and then from college to the NFL. It's a big transition. And again, it's going to be the landing spot. It's going to be how good's the offensive line. Do they have a quarterback, or are they facing eight-man fronts? I mean, there's so much that goes into. We just look at the player from a skill set and we want to believe, right? But the landing spot and these situations that all these players, whether you're wide receiver, quarterback, running back, where you land and the coaching staff and the team around you really plays a big effect on players' ability to produce for a fantasy standpoint. So a lot goes into it. It's not that. That's why it's very hard to predict who hits and who doesn't after at least the top elite guys, because I think those surrounding cast of characters on the team have a big influence on the success of individual fantasy players.
Yeah. And it's funny. You make me think of James Robinson. And I think of this time of year, like I see a lot of tweets out there and people are like, who's this year's James Robinson? And they don't realize, or they forgot how late we found out about that, and how late we were adding James Robinson to our rosters after waivers hit in some leagues. Some leagues we had to make like little small trades to try to get him, but we didn't have a James Robinson in the 2020 class in April or May last year. We didn't have that James Robinson situation figured out until practically like preseason, or what would have been preseason if we had one last year. And then we were still skeptical. And so, I mean, to try to pick out who's going to be James Robinson this time of year is just improbable, in my opinion. I don't even try to like answer those questions, because I'm just like, well, it's tough right now. Like, I don't know who who's going to be a neglected player that ends up hitting in the NFL draft or as undrafted free agent. so I can't tell you who's going to be neglected yet. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's so tough to pick out the 2021 James Robinson in April or May.
I completely agree. And you just have to be lucky enough either to be able to get him first on your waiver wire, or you're just kind of lucky, because nobody talked about James Robinson last year.
Exactly. I mean,
nobody did. So, those are the fun things that happened during this game that we love. Right.
And he found
himself in a great situation. Again, a situation where Leonard Fournette, for some reason, they just didn't want the guy anymore. Cut him loose. Right. And then he gets his opportunity, took advantage of it. For me right now, I'm selling James Robinson. So I'm not a believer that an undrafted free agent has long legs in the NFL. History will tell you that the Ecklers and the guy from Lindsay from Denver, those are really the last two undrafted free agents that had made a play. And I think they're both declining assets right now in Dynasty, right? So I would be looking to probably move James Robinson. You enjoyed the 1 year of production this year. He might produce again, but I would not be surprised at all. Let's say Trey Sermon gets drafted by the Jaguars, right? What happens to James Washington's? I mean, they might have thought he looks like a great fill-in, but does that organization, are they going to hang their hat on that guy? We're going to find out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to get more worried, not necessarily about year two, but kind of more like that, like you said, where Philip Lindsay is today and kind of where you started to see even Arian Foster decline a little bit. Like, we got a couple really awesome years out of that dude, and he set it on fire, but it ended kind of quick too with him. So I'm kind of getting to that point too, where I feel like if you are latched onto James Robinson, I feel like 2020 is a safe season if he's healthy. Who knows with the draft? Honestly, this could all obviously change, but I feel like 2020 is a safe year, but I feel like you need to be out of him almost by the end of it. So
yeah, I would be. I'd be putting feelers out there. You might be able to get yourself a good rookie pick and something else. I mean, there's probably true believers out there that think he's the long-term answer for the Jaguars. I'm just not one of those people.
So what are you selling for? I offered somebody, and this is he offered me his James Robinson for my 108 and a 2023 first. This is not a Devy League, and a 2023. I countered with, I would give him my 113 for his James Robinson, and he declined kind of like absolutely no way. And I just felt like our middle ground was too far apart. And even that 113, I don't know. I felt like I might be able to do fine with the 113. You never know. So I need a running back. He declined. I did not counter or send another offer.
Yeah, I'm. You know, if you're in a winning mode, I think I'd probably keep him for this year. And again, if you can make that trade after the draft, I think it's a lot of uncertainty going into the draft right now, right? I mean, let's say they do select a running back. Well, James, his value is going to change drastically.
Yeah.
So, I think that it depends on when that trade is going to happen for me. I agree with you. I think that his value for this season is probably solidified if they don't draft a running back, and you'll get that production out of him. But, the 108 is kind of tasty, though.
Yeah. And I have a hard time paying two firsts for a lot of players that I feel like would be safer than James Robinson. I just have a hard time just giving you two firsts for any player. I know 2023 is a couple years away, but for me, when I start to think about two firsts for a player, I don't know. I've made some trades I regret. Well, I'll just say that.
I agree with you on that. I think that that's not the player to consider two firsts for.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the point that you're talking about, you're like, I think about it like when you're going to buy something and you're finally like, you know what, I'm going to go drop some money on this. I'm finally ready to upgrade or to get this thing for our home. I'm going to go do it. And then you think like, okay, so now that I'm spending this money, this isn't the thing I want. And that's how I think about James Robinson too. When I'm finally ready to spend that money and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go spend two firsts. He's not the person that comes to mind. I just feel like that's your equity that you're trying to use, like, you could do better.
Yeah, and I think draft capital matters. So, and the fact that he doesn't have any, I think he's just not somebody that I'm going to target. And history tells you that these guys don't last long term. So I'm completely agreeance with you on that.
Yep. So, man, the listeners are sick of James Robinson. And it's not your fault. I think he comes up on every one of my player profiles shows somehow. So who's some players right now that you feel a little bit higher on than consensus? I'm curious if this has changed at all for you as you've been grinding more film, or I know you're a huge Pat Freiermuth guy. I was sniped in our rookie fever draft by the feverish Fenero. Who's somebody that you seem a little bit higher on?
I like Nico Collins from a wide receiver standpoint. I think that I love his skill set. I think he is the most physical receiver in this year's class. I love his vertical ability. Again, he's not going to kill you with great speed, but I love just his attitude. I think he can win vertical down the boundary. I think he's a great. I love his size. I think he's somebody I'm probably higher on than most. And let's just talk about another running back. Kylan Hill, all right, is another running back that I have as my RB5. I got him again right behind Trey Sermon in my dashboard ranks. And he's a guy nobody's talking about. And I'm not sure I understand why. There's been some off concern issues from this past season that he didn't get along with the coach. He kind of opted out halfway, you know, at the very beginning of the season. I think he played two or three games, but he had a hell of a game where he had 15 receptions and showed the world that he can now catch the ball out of the backfield. That's a player that was kind of knocked that he wasn't involved in the passing game, but I think he proved this past season that he can do that. He's another running back who I'm going to be drafting in all my rookie rounds, in all my drafts. Again, I think he's got that ability. Again, where the landing spot is, we don't know right now, but if he lands in a great spot, again, he's got the size. I think he's got the pass catching ability. There's a lot I like about his game. So I'm going to be taking him again over the smaller Gainwell and Michael Carter and those kind of backs. I go for, like I said at the beginning of the show, the backs that have a little more size. And I think he's got the short area quickness and lateral movement that I look for. So those are just two players that I think I'm interested in. And there's some really good tight ends, too. I'm in a lot of tight end premium leagues. Trey McKitty from Georgia is a guy who didn't get a lot of play in Georgia. They don't really use their tight ends rather. And Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame is, I think, going to be a real sleeper in the tight end class. I like scouting tight ends. It's a position that really they all kind of fade it but I, like I said, I play in a lot of tight end premium campus to Canton leagues and deep Debbie leagues. So I probably have more of an interest in tight ends than most of your average listeners.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember you saying that when you talked about Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, I think there's some deep guys that, again, if they get in the right landing spot, I think there's going to be some surprise tight ends in this class.
Who's somebody maybe you're a little lower on?
Well, we talked about Kenneth Gainwell last time. I'm probably not as high on him as most. As far as like the wide receivers, I'm probably Tylan Wallace. I have concerns about his play strength and his ability. He's been a lot of contested catch situations. He's probably a guy that's I'm a bit lower on is from the wide receiver. Running backs other than Gainwell, I'm just like after the top five for me, I'm probably going to fade most of them.
You are on the clock. Are you taking Brevin Jordan or Tylan Wallace?
Brevin Jordan.
Oh, I like it. Okay. I like that a lot.
You see, people always kind of fade tight ends, but until you have Kittle on your team, then you really don't fade them anymore, right? I mean, I've been participating in a lot of startup Debbie drafts, that is not just the Debbie college side, but also the NFL side. And I mean, damn, Kittle is coming off the board early. Kelsey's still coming off the board early. Waller, right? I mean, Kyle Pitts is coming off the board early. So if you can find one of those great tight ends, I'm going to maybe go for the upside. It's a risk, yeah, but I'm going to maybe, again, I play mostly tight end premium leagues, so this is kind of based on that. You know, if it was a non-tight end premium, if I saw where they were drafted after landing spots, it might be Tylan Wallace, but I'm going to say Brevin Jordan might have more of an upside at that tight end position than Tylan Wallace has the upside in the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And I apologize continually bringing up our mock, but that happened last night. So I took Brevin Jordan over Tylan Wallace, and Tylan Wallace was kind of the next guy I had on my list. And then Wallace was gone before it got back to me. And that's the question I asked, like if I had taken Wallace instead, like would Brevin Jordan have fell? And it didn't seem like it. It seemed like in that moment we all had him kind of in that same area, but I was just curious how you felt about that. So, yeah, I like it. Brandon, these are a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming back on. Anything you want to say about yourself, where to find you, your YouTube page, at Deep Dive, everything you're doing.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Debbie Deep Dive. I do a weekly podcast called Debbie Deep Dive where I focus on a topic, and then I'll pick a player and do a week-long film study on them and provide my insight as to what I see from a film analysis point of view. And then I introduce a deeper Debbie player for all the Debbie junkies out there like me. I've got a great Debbie dashboard product. It's kind of a twofold database that you can do a lot of research on, as well as I got a great Slack community as well. A lot of guys that play Debbie and Dynasty don't like Twitter, and they're looking for another forum to have great conversations and learn about film study and just learn about player values. And then, yeah, my YouTube channel is kind of where I host all my films, and whether I post them on Twitter or I make like a daily film for my dashboard people as well, just, you know, when I'm breaking down film and stuff. So I really appreciate the opportunity, Swags, to come on, man. I've been a big Rookie Fever podcast fan for a long time. Love it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, dude. We appreciate you, honestly. It's interesting. A lot of people aren't enjoying Twitter. So I think it's good that you've already started to get ahead of that and build that community outside of Twitter. That said, I am Swagzilla0G on Twitter, at Rookie Fever on Twitter. But, yeah, I love that you're doing that, dude.
Yeah, it's great. And we have such great conversations, and guys are throwing trades out there. Should I make this trade? And like I said, I provide a film every morning or every afternoon, just breaking down a player's film. It's like to kind of really go beyond the highlights. Got to go beyond the YouTube highlights to really do a player. So I'll record every play from a player who played on a certain, like against a game. You know, if you had 16 carries, I'm recording every 16th carry so the players can, my dashboard guys can see every, because you got to look at the bad plays and the good.